This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days of Prayer. In these teachings, you'll learn how to cultivate a powerful prayer life and experience breakthroughs in your relationship challenges, financial difficulties, bad habits, health crises, and many other areas of your life. Don't miss a single day of this life-changing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to grow a deeper, more vibrant prayer life with the amazing 40 Days of Prayer DVD study with workbook. This six-part study featuring Pastor Rick is perfect for your personal Bible study or for use with your small group. And you can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's broadcast. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Praying in Five Dimensions.
The way you see God will control your life more than any other thing in your life. The way you see God will determine, as I said, whether your prayers are fruitful and fulfilling or not. It's how you see God. And when Jesus says, pray our Father, he means it. If you only make one change in your prayer life and you simply start calling God, not Lord, not Creator or any other term, call him Father, it'll radically change your prayer life. Because what you call somebody sets the tone. If somebody comes in and calls me Reverend Warren, I know this is going to be a formal meeting. And they haven't the slightest idea. Somebody walks in and goes, hey, Rick, now I know we're on the same level. We can talk. You see, what you call God sets your tone for the prayer. And a lot of you, when you pray, you act like you're applying for a loan at a bank. And the loan officer is God. Or you're given a deposition to an attorney. And you're scared to death, you're going to say the wrong thing. Or you're taking a lie detector test with the FBI. How you see God will determine how much you enjoy prayer. It's your Father, and he loves you. And the Bible says you're to call him your Father. That one change will make a major difference in your prayer. Stop calling God, God. Stop calling Lord, Lord. It's okay, God is God and God, Lord is Lord. But start until you build it in your mind that God is my Father. In fact, he's not just your Father. Repeatedly, Jesus uses the term Daddy. Much more intimate. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, it says this. Talking about prayer, it says, you should not act like cowering, fearful slaves. Like, oh man, if I go to God, I'm going to get beat. You should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. That's what happens when you're saved. You get adopted into God's family. So you're now a child of God. You're in the family of God. You're adopted. So it says, instead of being cowering and fearful, by his Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit affirms that we really are his children. And since we are now God's children, we're also heirs with Christ. It means we're in the family. It means you're going to inherit everything. And we will share both in his suffering and his glory. Now, friends, this verse is so packed with life-changing truth. If ever I asked you to memorize a verse, you ought to memorize that one right there. It's long, but when you understand all the truths in it, it'll change your life, it'll change your prayer, it'll change everything about you. First, he says, I'm no longer the slave of fear. We sing that song. You shouldn't act like fearful slaves. As I said, whatever you think God is like determines how you pray. And if you think God is an uninteresting creator or an unpleasable deity or an untouchable stranger, your prayers aren't going to be worth what you waste your time on, your breath on. You know, it's always easy to tell what people think about God. It's real simple. Listen to their prayers. Listen to how they talk to God. Do they talk to God like he's their father, their Abba, their daddy? Do they have a family relationship, or is it much more a formal thing? Or do you feel like the guy who's talking to God right now in prayer is really more of a stranger, and he's reading a speech to the teacher at the front of the class? For many people, God's the schoolmaster, and it's the teacher, and he's like, please, sir, may I go to the bathroom? God is your father. Now, this passage gives us three very important points about prayer you need to learn, memorize, and never forget, okay? Three ways God wants your prayers to be. If you want to pray prayers that God likes to listen to, and if you want to pray prayers that you get answers to, and if you pray prayers that you enjoy praying, it needs to have these three things. Number one, God wants my prayers to be personal. Write that down, personal. He says, when we come to God, we don't just call him Father, we call him Abba. Abba is the most basic root word in the Aramaic language, which Jesus spoke. If you go to any Middle Eastern city right now, and you see a little kid walking down the street, you hear him say, Abba, Abba, Abba. It's the word for daddy. It doesn't mean father. It doesn't mean dad. It means dada. In fact, it sounds like it. Abba. It's the easiest thing for a baby around. It's like Abba, Dada, Papa. When my grandkids were born, they said, what do you want them to call you? I said, Papa. Why? Because they learned to say Papa before they could say father or mother. Papa, Mama, Dada, Abba, Abba. It doesn't even mean dad. It means daddy. It's not the term of even like a five-year-old or a seven-year-old. This is the term of a baby. Papa, Dada, Abba. Jesus says that's how you address God. Oh, would that change the way you pray? That's the most intimate. God wants intimacy with you. He created you for intimacy. It's a baby term. He says, when you come and pray, your prayers are not to be flowery and beautiful and erudite and cool. Your prayers are to be simple, childlike, unpretentious. Just what you see is what you get. Honest, unpretentious, unassuming. Is a toddler worried about making a good impression? Abba. Papa, Dada. God says, when you come to me, that's how you come to me. If you don't come to me like that, you don't know me. You don't know God. Oh, thou most gracious and holy potentate. God's going, huh? I told you to call me Dada, Abba. That's the kind of intimacy. I dare you to start using the word Abba, Papa, to refer to your Father in heaven. Unpretentious, unassuming, honest, childlike. When you settle this issue, it'll change the way you pray. Because who you think you're talking to sets the tone. Every misunderstanding of prayer is a misunderstanding of God. So my homework for you this week, and I'm serious about this, I want you to start every prayer with Daddy or Papa or Father, every prayer. Why? That's how God says he wants to be addressed. You need to change the way you talk to God. Jesus did not come to earth for you to not use the term he told us to use. When you pray, say, our Father, Daddy. So you say, well, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, that's your problem. If you can't say Dada or Papa or Abba or Daddy to God, you need to grow up and start saying Dada. So God says, number one, more than anything else, More than what you say, I want it to be personal. I'm your father. So stop talking to me like I'm your boss or your recruiter. I'm your daddy. When you come and talk to your daddy, you're not worried about being cool. You just come and talk to your daddy. Number two, he says, ought to be not only personal, it needs to be passionate. And he says, when we pray, we cry out, Abba, Father. Notice, we simply cry out. Circle that. We simply cry out. You know, I've noticed that children cry a lot. They cry out a lot. In fact, they're not even embarrassed to cry in a mall or in line at a store. They couldn't care less. If they're unhappy, they cry out. And they let everybody know. They are totally unpretentious. Are you that way in prayer? Are you more worried about what other people think about your prayer than actually talking to God? Your prayers are not going to matter much as long as you're worried about what other people think of your prayer. He says, when you come, it needs to be personal, but it also needs to be passionate. Cry out. Put a little oomph into it. God, I have got to have this. God, I need you. Daddy, help me. I am being tempted like nothing else, Daddy. I need your help. And I'm going under. And I've got bills to pay. And I can't make the decision on what to do. Whether I do I hold on or I let go. How do you know to do that? Do I accept job A or job B? And do I marry this or that or don't marry or whatever? And Daddy, I need your help. I need your help. Have you ever gotten emotional with God? God loves it when you share your emotion. Why? Because God is an emotional God. The only reason you have emotions is because God created you in his image. God shares emotions. The Bible says God gets angry, God gets frustrated, God gets jealous, God loves, God gets impatient. Why do you do that? Because you're made in his image. There ought to be some things in life that make you mad. There ought to be some things in life that frustrate you. And you cry out to God. You put some feelings in your prayer. You're not meeting with your tax preparer. Well, did I do line 482? Personal passion. The third thing is it needs to be a partnership. Now, some of you, this is going to be a big surprise for you. Did you know that when you pray, the Holy Spirit actually prays with you? Yeah. Every time you pray, God is actually talking to himself with you about you. Look at this verse up here on the screen, Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We often don't even know how to pray as we should. Yeah, anybody agree with that one? You know, somebody goes, I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to say. Okay? We often don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself speaks to God for us, even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings. He's passionate. Holy Spirit's passionate about you. I mean, you may have, God, I'd like to have this. And the Holy Spirit's going, God, they need this. Even begs God on your behalf with groanings and feelings that words cannot express. Okay. Now, what in the world does that mean? Okay, let's first cover a couple things. Your loving Heavenly Father understands that you often don't know how to pray. Your loving Heavenly Father understands that you often don't know what to say. Your loving Heavenly Father understands that you often don't even know how to say it. You can't put it into words. Any parent understands that. When my kids were little and they would come to me and they would try to say something and they couldn't even put it into words themselves, but I knew what they meant. And as their loving father, I knew, even though they couldn't even say, they didn't know what they were talking about, I knew what they were talking about. They didn't know what they're feeling, I knew what they're feeling. I knew the answer before they even made the request. That's called being a dad. And so God is not upset when you go, God, I don't even know what to say, God, but I'm just checking in. God says, good on you. Great. That's my girl. That's my boy. I don't even know what to say. I'm just checking in, Father. Well, that's good. Great. Thanks for checking in. Just hang out for a while. You don't even have to say anything. Just hang out. You don't always have to be moving your mouth to pray. I just want to sit here and be in your presence for a little bit. And then the Bible says that God joins with you and talks to himself when you talk to him. You go, is that a little weird? God prays to God. Oh, come on. You never talk to yourself? You do it all the time. Let me ask this. How many times is somebody talking to you, and while they're talking to you, you're talking to yourself about them? How often does that happen? All the time. Why? You're made in the image of God. And while you're talking to God, God can talk to himself about you. When you talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to himself, it's called self-talk, not prayer. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, talks to God in relationship. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one, three God in three person in one God. It's just God. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a person. I'm just one guy. But God talks to himself about you. You need to know that. So that when every time you pray, you're not just praying on your own. God goes, they're talking now. My daughter's talking. My son's talking. That's great. What a joy it is when your kids take their first words and you carry on conversation with people, well, with yourself, while others are talking to you, and your Heavenly Father does the same. Sometimes I'm out on the patio after service and I'm talking to you and you're talking to me and I'm smiling, I'm listening, and I'm talking to God about you while you're talking to me. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what they need, but you do. And I don't know the hurt that's hidden, but you do. And God, would you bless them? And I'm talking to God about you while you're talking to me. So this is very easy, obviously, for God to do. Okay, number three. We're talking about multidimensional, five-dimensional praying. I pray looking back to the cross. I pray looking up into my loving Father's face. Number three, I look inward. This third dimension, I look inward when I pray to Jesus living inside of me. Did you know that Jesus is in you? When you become a Christian, when you step across the line, he puts his spirit in you. Jesus is in you. Well, for that matter, this may shock you, the Trinity is in you, because you don't get God piecemeal. When you got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit. When you got the Holy Spirit, you got the Father. The Trinity is inside you. You say, well, that's a dimension I don't understand. I don't even feel. Got it. But it's the reality whether you feel it or not. The Trinity is in you. You might write this down. All three in me. The Father is in you. The Spirit is in you. The Son is in you. If you have invited them in. Now, if you haven't invited them in, they're not in you. But that's what salvation's all about. And so I look inward to Jesus living inside of me. Because Jesus isn't just in heaven. I said he's multidimensional. He's everywhere, including in you. Now, since Jesus is in me, and the Father and the Spirit, and I know that I'm unconditionally accepted by my Father, it gives me the freedom and it gives me the courage to honestly face up to my faults. And the third part of prayer, I've turned from the cross to the Father to now what's inside me. Christ, you're in me, but there's some stuff in me that's in there with you that I don't like. There's some bad attitudes. There's some secret sins. There's some compulsions. There's some fears. There's some hurtful memories. There's some resentful thoughts. There's some unforgiveness. God, there's some stuff in me. I don't even know how to clear it all out, and it's in there with you. And so I'm going to ask you to help me do some house cleaning. And this is a third part of prayer. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. It's self-examination. Do a heart checkup. Examine yourself to see if your faith is real and growing. Test yourself. Remember that Jesus is living in you. Of course, unless you failed your test and you've never asked him in. Now, let me ask a question. Would anybody here besides me like to be better than they really are? Of course you do. I love you so much for this. That's why you're here. You want to be better. You want to be better than you are. Well, I can't get any better until I face what needs to be challenged and changed. And so before I can get better, I got to admit what's bitter, what's bad. You see, the truth will set you free, but first it makes you miserable. Because the truth you like the least is the truth about you. The truth I like the least is the truth about me. And I don't want to be honest to myself, much less anybody else. But I can't change, I can't grow until I'm honest. There is no change without trust, and there is no trust without truth. And so first I have to be honest. Well, it starts with I look into the face of my loving Father. I know he's going to accept me no matter. He already knows all the gunk and the junk that's in my life. And knowing that he already accepts me unconditionally means he's already inside of me, so he knows what's everything inside of me. So I can now be honest to God. This is the third dimension. I look inward to Jesus living in me, and then I ask Jesus living in me to help me do a little house cleaning of the junk in my life.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, while we all experience disappointments, obstacles, and seemingly impossible circumstances in our lives, maybe you need a breakthrough in your marriage, your finances, relationships, or with habits and painful memories that have held you back. You'll get a breakthrough in your life when you seek one, and the way to do this is through prayer. That's why Pastor Rick created the 40 Days of Prayer Study Kit. In this life-changing 6-session DVD and workbook study, Pastor Rick helps you cultivate a powerful prayer life. You'll learn how to pray for a breakthrough and how to pray with more confidence and greater faith than ever before. Get the 40 Days of Prayer Study Kit today and experience the blessing of answered prayer. When you give a gift today to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer Study Kit to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer DVD Study Kit, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
So many of you have written to encourage us here at Daily Hope, and not only me, but our entire staff are encouraged by your notes, your letters, and I'm so grateful for your trust in this ministry. It's your prayers and it's your support that help us tell people around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the ways I can give back to you is through my free daily devotionals. You can sign up for them. If you're not getting them right now, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com and sign up to get the free Daily Hope devotionals. By the way, here's a letter from Holly who reads the Daily Hope devotionals every day. And she says this, Pastor Rick, I've been receiving your daily devotionals for several weeks and I've been overwhelmed by how positively my life has been impacted. My faith has been growing greatly these past couple of years, and now it is growing exponentially. People say they notice joy shining from me, and I know it's because my heart is being fed every day. And she writes, my story is one that I rarely tell, but as God has brought me through hell and now is showing me the why I went through it all, and it's beginning to make such perfect sense.
She writes, I stand behind you, Pastor Rick, along with thousands of others, holding you up in prayer during those moments that maybe even you have second thoughts. Blessings 1,000-fold. Wow. Thank you, Holly. I mean, Holly, everybody needs encouragement, including me, and I especially need your prayers as much as you need encouragement and prayers from others and from God's Word. You know, I'm always so encouraged when I hear about how God is transforming lives. I love these stories. So tell me your story. You can email me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me. Tell me your story. And thanks for listening today to Daily Hope. Let's be on the lookout for how God is working in each of our lives.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.